Prepare to experience the strongest radio allowable by law. Secrets will be revealed. Myths dispelled. From the studio gym where excuses never apply, it's Superhuman Radio with your host, Carl Lenore.
You know, I have actually been asked to do this show over the past few years quite a lot. It started with a good friend of mine in Louisville, Kentucky named Laura, who first asked me to do the show on irritable bowel syndrome. And then over the years, I've received emails from people saying, hey, do a show on irritable bowel syndrome. And I don't know why I didn't move it to the top of the list. It was until I got an email a couple weeks ago that I realized that I had really been derelict of my duties in covering this topic. And then I had to find the right person to do this show because I didn't want somebody who was from the medical orthodoxy telling me that the way to treat it was with pharmaceutical drugs or surgery or something like that. And my guest today is a biochemist named Peter Rouse. How you doing, Peter?
Very good, thank you.
And it's estimated that 15 to 20% of the American population suffer from irritable bowel syndrome. Is this similar across in different continents as well?
That's been my experience. I've kind of been in other countries, and we've kind of seen that same number, you know, throughout the globe, really.
Is IBS a relatively new issue? I mean, did this strike people to this degree 100 years ago, 200 years ago?
Not what we can see. You know, with the kind of data we have back then, it is kind of a little bit limited. But what we have seen is a definite acceleration of these symptoms, probably in the past maybe 15, 20 years.
Really? That's short, really, that's short of a window. 15, 20 years we've seen an acceleration.
Well, I think so. Somewhat with the introduction of GMO, too, that's kind of been a bit of a factor there as well.
And you've already taken one of my questions away from me. I was going to ask you a little bit later in the show about GMO, but let's talk a little bit more about IBS first. Mm-hmm. Is it possible to have IBS and not know it? Isn't IBS just basically like fibromyalgia, a cluster of symptoms?
Yeah, it is. It's a cluster of symptoms that you kind of can suffer from, but a lot of people don't realize they suffer from it. They get several bouts throughout a year, but they can have very long periods where they don't have anything. So they assume these bouts of, you know, diarrhea or constipation are just normal. So they actually never get treatment for it. And then there's severe cases, of course, of people suffer from a day-to-day basis.
What are the symptoms of IBS?
It can be anything from gastrointestinal distress, cramps, bloating, diarrhea, constipation, alternating between diarrhea and constipation. Those are probably the more common type of symptoms that most people suffer from.
In severe cases, does the stomach become distended?
Oh, in a lot of cases.
Oh, really? Not even in just severe cases. So if somebody has that bloated, hanging stomach look, and there's really no reason for it, they haven't eaten a lot, this could be one of the telltale signs?
That is definitely one of the signs that we look for when we're looking at some of the symptoms.
Okay. Does it also have anything to do with acid reflux disorder? Is there a relationship between IBS and acid reflux disorder?
Well, you're balancing the acid levels in the stomach. That's very important. Most people are deficient in hydrochloric acid anyway, so that's going to be a big factor there, too, is what we're going to deal with that in conjunction with everything else. Because IBS primarily is looking at the intestinal tract, but then what's happening above that influences what goes on below that. So we definitely want to look at hydrochloric acid levels and address that. In saying that, too, also we've got to look at that in the form of defense against parasitic infestation. And that being one of the potential causes of IBS is parasitic infestation.
Isn't it true that IBS can trigger a variety of other diseases, such as, you know, backache? Well, not some other disorders. I apologize, not diseases. One of them is a disease. There's some people who claim that people who develop IBS shortly after that develop fibromyalgia. Chronic fatigue syndrome has been associated as a secondary event that occurs in IBS, headache and backache, and then in severe cases, anxiety and depression. Is this a result of the malnutrition that occurs in IBS? I have to believe that they don't absorb their nutrients properly.
Well, that's part of it. I mean, there's no saying that death begins in the gut, basically. That means that, you know, there's a huge percentage of your immune system, 60% 70% of your immune system is actually in the gut. So that has a big influence there. The gut's not working, your immune system's not working, so you're open to more potential, open up to the diseases and that you might get from that. You're talking about depression and stuff like that. Of course, that affects serotonin levels in the gut because, a lot of serotonin is produced in the gut, so that has effect there. Even the endocrine function can be affected there. Malabsorption, as you say, from certain nutrients, particularly minerals, because the uptake of minerals is very limited, particularly magnesium and zinc, and that can have an effect down the pathway. As far as the back pains and stuff like that, we actually see that a lot in the clinic, and that's associated with, basically, if you have any irritation in the gut, it actually shuts down the abdominal wall, and that shuts down the support mechanism for the lumbar spine, therefore you're exposed to more potential lower back problems.
Because those muscles end up doing the work that the abdominal muscles are no longer doing. They try to supercompensate, I guess.
No, it's actually to do with the neural pathways and so forth.
Oh, really?
So it actually shuts them down. It actually decreases their ability to function.
Wow. Okay.
So
let's...
it's common with women with PMS, too. When they're working out, they shouldn't be lifting high loads because with PMS, a woman gets stomach cramps and problems with the gastro area as well. And that could be exposing them to potential lower back problems and stuff because the abdominal wall can't function properly during those periods.
Which leads me to a next question. Are women more prone to IBS than men, or is it pretty much across gender lines?
No, we have seen a much more high percentage of women suffering from IBS than men. And that comes back to also the influence of estrogen and progesterone.
What the onset of this disease, does it have an age like that is that also aligns itself with pre or perimenopause?
It can be associated with that, but what we're seeing is now, I think, as we come back to the GMO question, with the introduction of all these different foreign foods in the diet, we're seeing it occur in younger and younger people nowadays. So maybe 20 years ago, that was a very more common scenario, but nowadays it's becoming more common throughout the ages.
What about these vegans, people who believe that the sole vegan diet is the gateway to infinite health and longevity, do they suffer more from IBS than us carnivores?
Well, I know Mike Moore is going to hate me for this one, but definitely I've seen that across the board. Well, vegans tend to eat a lot of grain products, legumes, and those are two really key factors in the causes as well of IBS, or if not the cause, a definite irritant.
Right. And in the next segment, we're going to really start delving into the things that trigger IBS. And amazes me, Peter? It all comes back to real logic. When you start to practice what I like to call health history and nutritional history, and you stop abandoning what our ancestors knew worked, you start to realize that there are certain foods that have permeated our food chain that we were never designed to eat. And we're going to get into that. I want to save that because we're going to talk about the triggers and we're going to talk about the things that people can do. But first I want to get as close to what the problem really is in the first place. Now, you mentioned GMO, and we're going to talk about that in a minute. But it appears to me that when hormone milieus are at that youthful phase, our body is very resilient and can overcome a lot of distress because, as a species, we're programmed to do two things, and that's survive and procreate, and immediately thereafter we can die. Do you find that... the younger you are more resistant to this? You can get by longer, or the damage isn't as apparent when you're younger?
Well, there's multiple of causes of IBS. One of them is the hormone imbalances. So if the case is that hormone imbalance is the cause, then the younger they are, the less likely they are to have hormone imbalances. But then again, saying that, with the chemicals in the environment these days, you've got young kids that are screwed up, so... the hormone levels that come in and see me, and I've seen 16-year-olds who are messed up, even 16-year-old girls on the pill because they think it's going to help them with regulating the period and so forth, and that's going to really mess up their hormonal imbalances, and then that leads on to the IBS and other gastrointestinal problems.
Do you see elevated cortisol as a result of the overstimulated immune system trying to cope with IBS before the intestines finally cave in and give into it?
Yeah, adrenal fatigue is a big factor there. This is kind of like comes up a lot. We do adrenal testing on everybody, using saliva testing for that, 4 times a day saliva testing to measure cortisol levels throughout the day. And we see often stage 2, stage 3 adrenal fatigue in those individuals. This comes from, I guess, partly from the stress. Also, lack of sleep. You know, a lot of people with IBS have to get up during the night a lot to go to the bathroom to relieve themselves.
Really?
So they get, I mean, sleep is the biggest factor for controlling stress. So if you're getting disrupted sleep, that's going to be big and also affects the serotonin levels, which has an influence on that as well.
Right, right. Because serotonin is the precursor to DHEA. For people don't realize that. That cascade effect, and if you're, I'm sorry, not DHEA, melatonin. I'm sorry,
melatonin. Yeah,
Is, yeah. Peter's probably thinking, what the hell is this guy talking about? It's a precursor to melatonin. So, if your body is not producing adequate levels of serotonin, then you're not going to produce adequate levels of melatonin. You're not going to get sleepy at night. All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, we're going to be talking about some of the things that are in our food chain that are probably the cause for IBS, and this will give light to what you can do to help yourself. My guest today is Peter Rouse. We're talking about irritable bowel syndrome. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net. Chemex.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Crealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitrix EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, Planet and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. WiseChoiceMedicine.net. CanSee Eye Drops. The name says it all.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. Just want to remind everybody that Primordial Performance is having their annual summer sale. It's still going on. All prices are slashed up to 40% off. Ridiculously low prices on all of their supplements. Check them out, primordialperformance.com. My guest is Pete Rouse. Peter Rouse, we're talking about irritable bowel syndrome. Lots of people suffer from it. A lot of them suffer in silence. They just deal with it, cope with it. But make no bones about it. It is destroying your body. If you don't do something about it soon, it starts taking effect on other areas of your life as well. Like we were just talking about when we were going into the break, that it affects sleep. And we know from my show, I've done enough shows about the importance of sleep and recovery, healing. Hormone milus occur at night. If you're not getting good sleep, you are aging prematurely. So, Pete, what about, let's start talking about the things that seem to incite this disease. We talked about lectins a moment ago. Mm-hmm. What would you say to this statement? And I say this all the time. I actually got into a debate with a girl online the other day who is an advocate of the China study and is a devout vegan. And I said, we were never designed to eat grain. We were never designed to eat beans. We made these foods out of necessity to feed the masses, but our bodies are not equipped to digest these. And I pointed to anti-nutrients and lectins. Do you think that's a correct statement?
Definitely. If you look at the book, Winston Price did a study back in the early 20s, Nutrition and Physical Degeneration. He went around the world looking at the natural diet of all these tribes and natural environment they were in. Not one of them was a vegan or a vegetarian diet. So, I mean, if you look back at the original diet, even back to the 1920s, you know, the vegetarian diet didn't exist naturally in our environment. And we went to these foods out of desperation because of the fact that famine and environmental changes.
Bingo. The reason that we eat corn, the reason that we eat, because, you know, when you look at some of the nutritional anthropological evidence that as Paleolithic human beings, the cornerstone of our diet was animal protein and fat. And only in the absence of access to that did we then turn to these other things. No one wanted to eat grain. It was because of necessity, because populations were growing. It was harder to feed with animal protein and fat. And something you point out in today, which just keeps perpetuating the problem, is now we even subsidize the growth of these products, so they appear to be cheaper than the things we should be eating, but they're really not. We are paying for them in our tax dollars. It's kind of like you put a down payment on that loaf of bread with your taxes last year. Now you're going to pick it up. You're paying the balance. You know what I mean?
Yeah, but pretty much that's the case.
Yeah, but we were never designed to eat these foods, and these foods are really the core of disease. When we look at plaque buildup in the body, we know that these lectins are the things that cause the inflammation that starts the whole process going. It's not animal protein.
So, we've never seen anybody allergic to any kind of meat. So, you know, when it comes down to it, you look at what people are allergic to, you know, grains, legumes, which is soy and stuff like that.
Right.
So it's all your plant-based things people get allergies to. You may have your shellfish, but otherwise than that, you know, your meat, there's no allergies.
And people who are allergic to shellfish typically have iodine issues. And it's not the shellfish they're allergic to. It's the content of iodine that shellfish accumulate living in the ocean.
So it's a huge chemical imbalance there anyway. And also with the seafood these days, I don't recommend anybody eat it because the oceans are so contaminated. I mean,
yes.
Look what's going on in the Gulf right now. I mean,
yes, and I agree. And that's why I need to say this also. There are some people out there who may disagree with my statement about red meat, and rightfully so, because red meat today is sick. It's not the red meat of yesteryear. We know that through the observation of mother's milk, that what an animal eats, it gives off in the way of milk. We know that cows that are grain-fed and corn-fed pass some of those lectins on in their milk. That doesn't occur when they eat grass. So we also can pretty much assume that grain and corn-fed cows probably have some lectin content in their flesh, in their muscle. So when we eat them, I bet there are lectins in some of that meat that may be a pro-inflammatory process contributor.
Well, we've seen people who have removed from grains totally from their diet for, you know, 6 to 8 weeks where it clears out the system, and they actually have grain-fed beef sometime, you know, by accident, and they get a flare-up. So
bingo.
It's obvious, yeah.
So that proves my point. Okay, so we know that grains are part of the problem. Now let's talk about what I think is probably one of the greatest culprits of all, and I know you agree with me, so I'm not going to. GMO, genetically modified organisms, corn, I say that don't even eat corn because I say it's impossible to even find non-GMO corn in this day and age.
Well, if you do, there's no guarantee that it is GMO-free, even though they may say it is because of the cross-contamination. And there's no they don't do any tests for it, so it's very, very difficult. Anyway, you know, and the fact that you should remove all grains from your diet anyway, not humans aren't designed to digest it, so that puts more extra stress on the system. And I'll go as far as saying that, you know, the induction of grains has probably contributed to the increase of cancer and coronary heart disease in this country and throughout the world.
I agree because grains are pro-inflammatory, and we know that cancer is a result of the inflammatory response in the body's not a loss of ability to cope with that through a compromised immune system. So, you know, I think that to totally ignore the fact that as Paleolithic humans, we ate almost exclusively animal protein and fats is ridiculous for those people who are trying to carry the message that the vegan diet is the way to go. I think that you it's almost like trying to rewrite, you know, a revisionist approach to history. You can't ignore the fact that we didn't eat grain before the agricultural revolution. We didn't even know how to grind it.
Well, even there's actually genetic evidence to show that we were actually more linked, closer related to carnivores and omnivores than we are to herbivores because of that genetic coding that you see in carnivores compared to herbivores don't exist. So, you know, we're definitely genetically designed to eat meat of all various types. The amount we're meant to eat in our diets may vary depending on our genetic heritage, where we came from, but nevertheless, it's definitely a big part of our diet.
Okay, so what other triggers are there that you feel are the culprits when we talk about IBS? We know grains, we know corn. What about soy?
Soy, that comes under legumes anyway, so legumes is nearly as bad as your grains, so they need to be all gone. Soy also creates that, you know, disrupts hormone imbalances, so that's going to be another factor.
Soy is the devil. And not only does it have phytoestrogens and hormones in it, number two, it's a legume, as you point out, and it's full of anti-nutrients and lectins. But number three, it's almost exclusively GMO as well, like corn.
Yeah, I mean, that's kind of, you're getting a home run with that one because you've got all three there. So that's a big factor. And it's been really promoted as a health food when it's actually destroys your health.
And there's one more thing that I forgot about. Soy is so difficult to work with. Soy is so difficult to extrapolate the macronutrient processes that they try to, you know, when they want to liberate the protein and liberate this and liberate the oils from it for soybean oil. They have to use industrial solvents to manipulate the soy to give up those components. And we already know that those solvents remain as a residue in the soy because they just talked about this in baby formula recently, that they found the carcinogen, which is used as a solvent to render the soy protein for baby formula. Now they're saying they have to take that out. You know, they don't want that in there anymore. So all soy has to use, they have to use solvents to liberate everything.
Well, it's bad enough they're putting soy in baby formulas, which is just totally nuts. But then, you're right, you know, the chemical contamination is another key factor, and these chemicals don't leave the body easily once they enter the body, so they can linger there. So it's not about a single dosage, it's about accumulation over time as well.
Yeah, and women really have the most to worry about in that area because quite often, due to the estrogenic effects, they have the ability to store a great deal of toxins in their fat cells. And then when they lose weight, if they should lose weight, that becomes a rush. It just floods the system and overwhelms the system, all of these toxins that they've been storing for so long because women, they love soy. I mean, everything soy. They eat soy products constantly.
Well, that's the thing with detox, too. A lot of people go on these detox diets and don't have the ability to eliminate them. So when we do our detoxification, it's a very careful process looking at the, you know, the detoxification pathway that we need to clear and then individually doing that. But first, we've got to make sure that the elimination process is working, i.e. the gut, you know, so we can actually eliminate all these waste products. And a lot of people can't do that, and you've got to do it in a slow process. We use things like far infrared sauna as well to sweat some of these out. But it's a very dangerous process if you do it incorrectly, and then you can actually potentially harm the
Yeah. Losing a large amount of fat in a very short period of time requires that you take steps to keep yourself from harm, from the flood of toxins that are going to be released into your bloodstream on a day-to-day basis as these fat cells give up their content. So it's really important that people recognize that.
Yeah, I think fixing your GI, fixing your gut first is the first process to fat loss. Before you even look at reducing fat, you've got to get your gut working first and make sure that's going to be able to eliminate what you're going to be extracting.
Do you think that the degree of disease in this country and abroad today that is unofficially linked to poor digestion? In other words, we know from kids who have there's a certain class of children who develop autism as opposed to are born with it. I believe after 8 years old they develop it. They respond very well to probiotics because of they lack a specific flora called L. plantarum. And when they're given L. plantarum with their diet, blood glucose levels stop fluctuating and a lot of their symptoms subside. Do you think that there's a lot of diseases that are not linked to the toxicity of undigested components of our food floating around our bloodstream today?
As I said at the beginning, I think the gut is probably number one cause of most of these diseases, the underlying cause. If you look way back, there's other causes along the line, but I think this is probably the most important area anybody can work on themselves to improve their overall health. I mean, if you can improve gut health, you improve your overall health, your immune system, everything works better. It's the old saying, you are what you eat, but more importantly, you are what you assimilate. So unless you're assimilating these foods as well, then a lot of people are malnourished because they may be eating lots of good food, but they aren't assimilating it and absorbing it.
They're not absorbing it, right?
Yeah.
All right, let's take a quick commercial break. When we come back, I'd like you to detail for the audience the types of steps you take with individuals who have IBS, and maybe some people out there can start taking these steps and resolve some of these issues for themselves. We're talking today with Peter Rouse. You can visit his website at A like Apple, F like Foxtrot, performancecenter.com to learn more about his services. Stay tuned. We'll be right back. Life is a continuous journey, and Change Your Life Now gives you the tools for continuous empowerment. Change Your Life Now is a practical guide to the biological process of age reversal. It's deliberately understandable and concise, so you can employ its message immediately and begin to realize the changes within days. The reader need only provide a positive attitude, desire, and discipline, and the results are guaranteed. Visit superhumanradio.com and click the Change Your Life Now banner ad to learn more or to order your copy today. Don't wait another moment. Change your life now. We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to GEAR. GEAR is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. GEAR is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. GEAR causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get GEAR today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. GEAR. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement. Turinabol from PrimordialPerformance.com is a Haladrol clone. Turinabol will give you up to 15 pounds of lean body mass in as little as 6 weeks. Since Turinabol does not aromatize, there's no conversion to estrogen. Turinabol takes advantage of the patented Liquivade technology to ensure the maximum delivery of this powerful anabolic agent. Users of Turinabol report increased strength and lean gains with little side effects. Get Turinabol today while supplies last at PrimordialPerformance.com. Don't wait for Turinabol to be added to the federal ban list. Turinabol. Selective androgen receptor modulators represent the future of hormone replacement therapy. Institutions looking to perform research depend upon the potency and authenticity of the materials they buy. That's why your institution needs to trust Chemex for their SARMS materials. Go to chemx.net today for SARMS S4 for your research project. Don't trust the success of your project to questionable sources. Trust chemx.net. That's chemx.net.
Chemex.net. Thousands of Superhuman Radio listeners already know how well GLC 2000 works at repairing joints and cartilage, and it's the best price on the market, milligram for milligram. Now GLC Direct is offering a special that my listeners can take advantage of. Buy one, get one free of any GLC 2000 product. That's right. Buy one of your favorite GLC 2000 products and get one free. Capsules or raw powder. Just mention Superhuman Radio and buy one, get one free today. Call 866-452-3473 or click the GLC banner ad on superhumanradio.com. Offer limited to one per household.
Jumping higher, lifting more. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. My guest today is Peter Rouse. You can visit his website, afperformancecenter.com. That's A like Apple, F like Foxtrot. Performancecenter.com. Okay, so Peter, when somebody comes to you, and chances are they've been diagnosed by their physician, right? Because physicians diagnose people with IBS, right?
Well, you'd think so, but in most cases, a lot of people are misdiagnosed. We see a lot of people come in, been through the traditional medical system, had no luck, been prescribed certain medications just to manage the symptoms, but don't really actually cure the underlying cause. We've had people who've had IBS for 20, 30 years come in, and 6 weeks later, they're better. So, the mainstream
6 weeks.
System,
6 weeks.
Yeah, 6 to 8 weeks, yeah.
So, people who've been suffering with IBS for years. And traditionally, what do doctors do for them? They give them, proton pump inhibitors? What do they do for them usually?
Well, it depends on the symptoms. They just address the symptoms, whether it's diarrhea. They'll give them, different medications related to that problem. They like to give
them a lot of hype. So they treat each individual symptom, in other words. They treat each?
Yeah, pretty much. And another one they give them is fiber. They give them a lot of fiber, which is one of the worst things you can do to an IBS patient.
Really?
Yeah.
Why? I would have thought fiber would be good. Fiber... Isn't fiber considered a prebiotic in a sense?
No. We may be looking at FOS. We'll talk about that a little bit later on. But with fiber, the problem with fiber is that, one, it causes malabsorption of minerals, which is further, depletes the levels of minerals, particularly magnesium and zinc. That
really?
We discussed before.
I didn't know that.
As it pulls through, it's actually anti-nutrient as well. And in that process also, it's pushing through. It can be used in emergency cases to get things moving if you need it. But it's something you shouldn't be relying on a constant basis because you want to get your bowels moving rather than relying on something to push it through or drag it through. So,
Sure. Yeah,
you want to get this system working, get the actual gut pumping again.
I talk about anti-nutrients from time to time in foods that grow out of the earth. Legumes are high in anti-nutrients. Potatoes are high in anti-nutrients. Quite often things that have anti-nutrients have to be processed and cooked in order to eliminate or minimize the effects of the anti-nutrients. How would you explain to my audience what an anti-nutrient is? What purpose does it serve if it's in there?
Well, it's a natural pesticide, in the plant that you're consuming. So it's a natural protection. The plant produces a chemical.
A natural pesticide designed to kill small bugs that eat it, that try to eat that plant.
Well, not necessarily kill them, but, the bugs are smart enough not to eat it. So, we're dumb enough to eat it instead, and of course that causes us all these different problems that we see today.
And I've known about this. The first person to ever teach me about an anti-nutrient was Dr. Lauren Cordain. Years ago, he started discussing lectins and anti-nutrients with me, and it really opened my eyes because when you think about it, if something is supposed to be a food, if nature produced something to be a food, which the truth is nature produces nothing to be a food. Nature doesn't go, okay, this is food and this is not. But but if nature did intend for these things to be foods, nature would not have put anti-nutrients in them.
Well, certain animals may be able to consume them, very little animals though, but we are definitely not designed to uptake and block those anti-nutrients. So, of course, it creates a destruction in our gut and it causes autoimmune system responses. If you look at grains, one exposure to grains can actually influence the autoimmune system for 6 months. So
really?
Grains,
Okay, so somebody comes to you with IBS, you immediately take them off of all grains, all of legumes, all soy, correct? What else do you take them off?
Dairy is a big factor there. I know you like your dairy, but for IBS patients, it's like
Do you think it's the dairy? No. And I had a feeling you were going to say that. Do you think it's the dairy because conventional dairy is grain and corn-fed produced milk?
That could be part of it, but what we see it across the board, even with raw dairy products as well. It's destructive. If you look at it, humans are the only animals that consume dairy beyond the infant state. So, we lose the enzyme for one to break down lactose. So that's one problem, and that's only just one. There's a key number of factors involved with dairy that causes gut irritants and causes a lot of symptoms for the IBS patient.
How closely linked is IBS to ulcerative colitis?
That's a different kind of problem. See, so okay. IBS, as I said before, IBS is a collection of symptoms where you're talking about a particular condition.
Okay.
So it's not related at all.
Okay.
We could actually treat that differently.
What else do you have your clients do who are suffering from IBS to get them to have a turnaround in 6 weeks besides eliminate those items from their food?
Well, first off, coming back to what causes IBS, I mean, we have our food sensitivity, so removing foods, which I'll come back to. Stress factors, we've got to look at the stress factors in life and address that, and that could be coming down to basically improving their sleep patterns, maybe helping them meditation, so forth, reduce the stress in their lives. Dairy, lactose intolerance, as we talked about before, could be an infection. There's infection in the gut can cause inflammation in the mucosal tissue, which influences T cell and smooth muscle changes. So this influences the whole bowel movements. Then you have your malabsorption of nutrients, as mentioned, the zinc and magnesium, hormonal balances, environmental sensitivities too. You just had someone on yesterday talking about environmental toxins. And that was a very interesting show, and talking about the cause of cancer, but also these things can cause things like IBS as well.
Sure.
Parasites, of course, is a big one. Fruit intolerance is it's quite an interesting. A study done by Young Choi from the University of Iowa, they showed between one third and one half of the patients they tested were actually fruit intolerant out of the IBS patients. So
really. So fruit can trigger IBS.
Yeah, that's a big one. But it can be an underlying cause because of fructose intolerance. So that could be a very big factor as far as the gut irritants. Vaccines, we talked about vaccines before earlier, but vaccines is another big factor there. Aspartame, which is the artificial sweetener, that's another one. And then of course we're looking at the GMO, and then lastly, adrenal fatigue.
So you address these people hormonally as well?
Yeah. We would have to address the endocrine system, look at what stage of adrenal fatigue they are, address the problems there, whether they're elevated cortisol or depressed cortisol levels, look at the ratio between cortisol, DHEAS, we actually test melatonin levels too, look at E1, E2, E3, the estradiol, which is the primary one we want to look at, progesterone and testosterone. So we see the whole balance going on there.
We know that individuals who don't get proper sleep, like shift workers, for instance, who work, midnight to 8 a.m. and so on, they have a 3 or 4-fold higher risk of developing colon and breast cancer than the general population. And you mentioned earlier that sleep plays a big role. Do you find that the that poor sleep begets IBS, or is it the IBS that causes poor sleep that becomes like a vicious cycle?
I think it's kind of like a chicken before the egg scenario, where some people, it may be the sleep can cause it through the disruption of the endocrine system and the immune system, and other people, the IBS just contributes further to the sleep disorder because of, as we mentioned before, waking up through the night, having to go to the bathroom 5-6 times a night. Really disrupt your sleep.
Yeah, that absolutely can destroy a person very quickly. I mean, that can bring on a lot of illnesses.
Yeah, and the extra stress too. I mean, you just had on top of the sleep pattern. I mean, you wake up 5 times a night, it's going to really annoy you, and you're going to get pretty stressed out about it.
Well, I'll share something with you. I in 2005 I became sick due to an endocrine issue, but I became an insomniac. I mean, I really couldn't sleep. I would be up all night long pacing the hallways and sitting downstairs in the living room and watching television and wanting desperately to get to sleep but not being able to get to sleep. One of the things that I noticed when I had this sleep issue was my digestion changed. Food went through me faster. It went through me really fast, like not even completely digesting sometimes. And that was really peculiar to me until I started researching it and realized that my lack of sleep was impairing my body's ability to produce thyroid hormone, because we produce the majority of thyroid hormone at night. And thyroid hormone was playing a role in the speed in which my food was digested and the thoroughness in which my food was digested, because the thyroid actually creates, for lack of better terms, sets the pace in which food is digested. Have you found this as well by any chance? Do you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, there's a whole other issue with the thyroid issue that we see today. But one of the causes of hypothyroidism can be adrenal fatigue because of the cortisol is influenced on the thyroid gland. So
right. That's
one of them. Also, grains. I mean, grains can, you know, be one of the causes of hypothyroidism as well.
Really?
And
how so?
Well, you know, the lectins and proteins in grains, they bypass the gut barrier, the mucosal barrier, so the immune system kicks in to attack these proteins. These proteins are nearly identical to the adrenal tissue, so the body gets a little bit confused and starts attacking the adrenals.
Really?
So
I didn't know that. Okay.
That's why we look at antibody testing. When we do, when I have a patient coming in with any kind of thyroid issue, we don't do the standard screening. We go beyond that, looking at antibodies as well as
TPO. They call that, right?
Yeah.
TPO, right? Thyroid antibody, to make sure that the body isn't attacking the thyroid and trying to shut it down.
Yeah, exactly. And we need to address that, and also looking at reverse T3. I mean, elevated levels of reverse T3 tells us also that there could be some stuff going on with gut irritant or food allergies.
Do you know that there's some physicians out there who don't believe in the relevance of reverse T3?
Yeah, I've come across that a little bit recently, yes. More so in this country, in the U.S., I've seen it a lot more.
All right, let's take our last commercial break, and when we come back, we will finish up the show. We're talking today with Peter Rouse. If you have IBS issues and you need some help, you can go to his website, AF, like Albert Foxtrot, performancecenter.com, and contact him there. We'll be right back. We all know how effective amino acid supplements are. Well, get ready to be shocked. Amino acid supplements just reached a new level of strength. Say hello to Gear. Gear is super concentrated, super potent, and so bioavailable, it's equivalent to injectable amino acids. Gear is best used between meals to keep nitrogen balances tilted towards anabolism. Gear causes an increase in anabolic signaling that tells your muscles it's time to grow. Get Gear today by visiting needtobuildmuscle.net. Gear. This ain't your daddy's amino acid supplement.
A company committed to truth in advertising, to science-driven product development, a company that still believes in accountability to its customers. All American EFX is that company. With a full line of performance-enhancing aids like Prealkaline EFX Pro, muscle pump amplifiers like Nitric EFX, growth and recovery enhancers like LBA Pro and LG5 Pro, and a fully tested core nutrition series. So if you want the very best in bodybuilding and performance supplements, go to any GNC or visit AAEFX.com. Today. That's AAEFX.com. All American EFX. We don't play games. We just help you win them.
The federal government is more aggressive than ever prosecuting anabolic steroid-related cases. Whether you're a physician, supplement company, or citizen, ignorance of the law is not a defense. Buying from overseas pharmacies, large numbers of patients on hormone replacement therapy, and releasing new hormone-based supplements can all be red flags to the federal government. Don't take chances. You need attorneys that have years of experience defending anabolic steroid-related cases. You need J. Clark Baird and Bill Butler. Knowledge is power. Know where you stand before the federal government comes knocking. Go to SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. That's SteroidDefenseLawyers.com. Go today and be safer tomorrow.
Are you tired of the same old pre-workout product? Would you like to catapult your body's growth and performance potential to an entirely new level? LG Science's Anadrolic State GT is the world's first kinetic amplification system. Anadrolic State GT goes beyond the pre-workout powders in functionality, adaptation, and power. Anadrolic State GT is the first of its kind, allowing users to take aggressive control in the gym with ferocious focus, explosive energy, and dominating strength. Anadrolic State GT is available at bodybuilding.com, NutriPlanet, and other fine retailers. Get yours today and join the LG Sciences uprising.
There are a few products that I believe in the way I believe in CanSee eye drops. I've been using CanSee for 6 months now, and the changes in my vision are nothing short of amazing. My near vision has improved, and I can read small print from 8 inches. My overall vision is clearer, and the glare from oncoming headlights doesn't bother me any longer. Just 1 to 2 drops a day, and the results are visible. You can find CanSee eye drops at wisechoicemedicine.net or call 800-861-4936. That's 800-861-4936. Wisechoicemedicine.net. CanSee eye drops. The name says it all.
Listen strong. It's Superhuman Radio.
Welcome back to Superhuman Radio. We're talking about irritable bowel syndrome, but I got to tell you something. Even if you don't suffer from IBS, there's a lot to be learned here, and that is this. Our bodies were never designed to digest these types of foods, and even though your immune system may be robust enough to cope with it, why do it? It's kind of like, okay, so you don't get sick from getting gasoline splashed over your skin, but your friend does, so you do it anyway. It's like, why? If these foods loaded with lectins, loaded with anti-nutrients, can cause this type of problem in people, even though it may not be manifesting symptoms with you, it definitely is still doing damage to your stomach regardless. Is that true, Peter?
Yeah, I mean, we've seen it again and again. As soon as we get people off these foods, the overall health just improves, even though some people come in who may be coming in for performance purposes, you know, athletes and so forth. We get them onto a very similar diet, removing these from their diet, and their performance increases. I had one guy who, within 2 weeks, you know, some of his lifts went up 10-15%, and this is a veteran lifter. So just by removing all these foods from the diet, and he got leaner in the process. He actually dropped about 10 pounds, I think it was, and in the process, he actually got stronger. So, you know, the performance level can improve alone. So if you're looking at improvement in the gym, you know, taking these foods out are going to give you a definite boost.
Yeah, absolutely. And just from an overall health standpoint, I mean, you know, it's unnecessary to irritate your stomach if you don't have to. And, you know, so what do people do? I mean, you know, I don't want to give up bread completely. I like a piece of bread once in a while. I mean, is it? Do you have to stay off it for 6 months, and then can you reintroduce these things every now and again, or is it something that you just have to stay off of for the rest of your life?
Grains, totally for the rest of your life, definitely. And even the gums, I would put there on the rest of your life. We're never meant to eat it, so why eat it? A lot of people kind of stressed out at the beginning, thinking, oh, I can't have this, but they do this for 6 weeks, and it becomes much easier. After that, too, you see some healing in the gut. And when they actually do have this piece of bread, even though they may not have aware of the symptoms beforehand, when they reintroduce it again, the effects it causes to them, they don't want to eat it again because it really causes some gastric distress and may cause them diarrhea, may cause them bloating and so forth. So then they realize the damage has been done. A lot of people are just desensitized to the symptoms because they've had it since childhood. You know, we've been brought on a country here which, you know, the cereal industry has taken over the market for breakfast, and people don't realize that this stuff is killing the kids.
Well, never mind that. I mean, look at the government's recommendation for how we should eat. At the bottom of the pyramid is cereals and grains, and they're like, oh, you need to eat 8 to 10 servings of these things here, and then, you know, cut your fat real far back and cut your protein consumption back. And then when you have these people writing these, you know, books like the China study and saying, well, the reason for disease is protein. It's like, that's such nonsense. If that was true, we wouldn't be here today because our civilization would have expired back in the day when all they ate was animal protein. They would have just died off.
Well, actually, I lived in China. I can tell you that book is a load of crap.
Really? Really? You're the second person to say that. My guest yesterday said that she had been there as well, and she said the same thing. So did you tell me your story? Why is it a lot of crap?
I see what they're eating there, for starters. I mean, if you look at the research, it's manipulated anyway. Have you looked at the research paper? It's very much manipulated. And the book has actually been manipulated from the research again. So misinformation passed on, and misinformation passed on there. But if you look at what they're eating over there, it's what you're talking about before. Some areas may be eating these foods because of survival mode, but we don't see an improvement in health. I mean, it's destroying their health. And believe me, they love their meat. So, I mean, I can't imagine a Chinese eating a vegetarian diet. I never saw a vegetarian Chinese, unless it's for religious reasons, you know, very strong Buddhist belief and so forth. But and those people look like they could probably do with a couple of steak meals anyway.
I know. And you know what? And I all respect to vegetarians who are vegetarians because they feel sorry for animals. We as humans are famous for overlaying our emotions and feelings onto animals. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, sometimes you got to be a little bit sensitive about some of the people. I get people coming in who are vegetarians. I lived in Singapore, one part of it, and we get a lot of the Indian community there, which were Indian, kind of based on the vegetarian diet. So we kind of have to work around their belief system, again, with people who believe in the health of animals and so forth. I managed to turn them around slowly, but it's a slower process. But with religious people, it tends to be we just have to work with them and do the best we can. But we definitely, even in those cases, we remove the legumes and the grains. And it does leave a lot of foods to be choosing from, even though people don't realize. One thing I found was very interesting was a lot of these vegans ate only a variety of maybe 3 to 4 vegetables in a whole week. That's it. They had the same thing, you know, week in, week out. And, you know, you have several thousand different varieties of vegetables out there you could choose from, and they're limited to 3 or 4. I mean, that's one of the biggest mistakes they can make.
Okay. All right. So if people want help with their IBS issues, they can go to your website, right? AFPerformanceCenter.com. That's A like Apple, F like Foxtrot, PerformanceCenter.com. They can contact you there?
Yeah, they can contact me through there. I'll be happy to email them if they want a list of protocols they can follow and remove it from themselves. They don't even have to come and see us.
Yeah, that's very cool. Okay. Now, I want to talk about something else that you mentioned to me before and I want to hear more about. You happen to dabble in eating raw, correct?
Yeah, a little bit, but not the vegetable sauce, but more the meat sauce.
Right, the meat sauce. And so you mentioned something during the pre-interview before, and you said that you make a meat shake, right?
Yeah, I actually teach nutrition courses to personal trainers and other physicians and so forth. So one of the things that came up there, and actually I was surprised how many people actually were keen on trying this. We use, of course, fresh organic meat and so forth, but we do a meat shake, and it's actually really good. And people are looking at a post-workout shake. We, of course, I know you don't like this, but we remove dairy from people's diet, and they're looking for something that's quick assimilation. Raw meat is digests at almost double the rate of cooked meat.
Oh, I know. It's amazing. I can eat a pound of raw ground beef and feel hungry an hour later and not even feel anything in my stomach. If I would eat a pound of cooked beef, I would feel like there was lead in my stomach for hours.
Yeah, it takes a lot longer to digest, and they've actually done this in studies too and seen that. So what we do is, if you want to take a protein shake, you know, do what the mess I do. Well, they drink blood, but, you know, just have your warm meat shake and add a bit of blood in there if you're into that. But
So give me an idea of what a raw meat shake entails. You take what, like a quarter pound of maybe some ground beef or organic grass-fed beef maybe?
You definitely want to be ground first, so whether you ground it yourself or buy it ground. I found ribeye probably the best I get from U.S. Wellness Meats, one of your previous sponsors.
Yes.
So we get the ribeye there and basically grind it ourselves first, and then from there you can use it into a meat shake. So you add it into the shake, you can add a little bit of water to make it more liquefied,
right,
and just blend it up.
And so you're saying just meat and something to liquefy it. Like, I could put a couple raw eggs in it too, I guess, right?
Well, if you're doing the elimination, well, if you're talking about the IBS problem, then I wouldn't be eating eggs. Eggs is something you've got to remove from the diet as well. But if you're fine with that, yeah, you can eat the eggs. Another thing, too, if you're not doing an elimination phase diet, then you can add in some salsa organic seltzer, which is very nice. It kind of
seltzer.
Yeah.
You mean club soda, seltzer? Yeah, okay.
No, club soda, seltzer. You've got salsa here, don't you? You know, the Mexican spice, tomato-based salsa.
Oh, salsa. Yes. I'm sorry.
I thought you were going to have a problem with my accent.
No, you've been doing good. I heard someone in the background chime in, so you have your translator there.
Well, actually, she speaks Spanish, so she knows
okay.
better than me.
Yeah, salsa. Okay, so yeah, that would be good. You could put some salsa in there. But you find these very effective as a post-workout meal, huh?
Better than your protein shake.
Yeah, I know. I'm going to have to try this now. You've intrigued me. This is something I never thought about, drinking my raw meat. This is exciting.
You need to play with the constitution, so, you know, with how much water you add in there to liquefy it more, because otherwise when you blend the ground beef, it becomes more like a thick paste.
Right.
So put the water in first, put the beef on top. Maybe if you want to try it with or without salsa, maybe go without the salsa
right.
sorry,
right.
first, and then you can try it from there.
Interesting. I'm going to have to experiment with this. This is interesting. I'm trying to get my palate around the idea of liquefied beef. Like, what would taste good with it? I'm going to work on this. I really am. This is something interesting to me.
By itself, it's great.
Oh,
it's
bet.
Amazing. People don't realize.
Yeah. I love raw meat. For some reason, I like eating raw beef. When I eat it with a fork, for some reason, it doesn't taste as good as when I just take dollops of it with my fingertips and throw it in my mouth. And I don't know what it is about that. But eating it with a fork doesn't work for me. But yeah, I know. I eat about anywhere from a half pound to a pound of raw beef on the days that I'm eating beef in that given day, amongst other things. I mean, I eat raw eggs every single day. I try to eat as much raw as I possibly can, but sometimes my schedule doesn't permit me to prepare my food ahead of time. Okay, so in summary, those who are suffering from IBS, you can get in touch with Peter Rouse. You can go to afperformancecenter.com. That's A like Apple, F like Foxtrot, performancecenter.com. In 6 weeks, he has people turned around. Imagine not having stomach cramps, stomach pains, diarrhea, you know, whatever the case may be, whatever your IBS is imposing upon you. Imagine living free of that. And Peter can help you with that. Peter, I want to thank you so much for taking the time to come on Superhuman Radio and talk about this.
Thank you, Carl. Thanks for the opportunity of maybe dismissing some of the myths out there on IBS.
Absolutely. And once again, it all comes down to nutrition. Isn't that wonderful? I love this.
The biggest factor, yeah. That's the biggest component.
Okay. All right, well, we'll see everybody tomorrow with another episode of Superhuman Radio, so tune in then.